seat, and we trust by the help of the Lord that you to know the word of prayer, pray for us, that we can be able to explain what's on our heart. I appreciate the Lord and appreciate his goodness. On behind me on the board, we have what I tried to draw is some fuel gauges. Fuel is necessary in our automobiles, in our homes, and etc. We need fuel. And I appreciate the thought last night, overconfident. So maybe also in this, these thoughts may generate a little bit more. But fuel is necessary. In the old cars, some of the older cars, back years ago, they had this type of fuel gauge. You knew when your needle hit one of these buttons, one of these numbers, you knew about how much gasoline you had. That was in the older cars. 3/4 of a tank, 1/2 a tank, 1/4 of a tank. But in the newer cars today, they don't have those numbers up there any longer. They have just marks. Just marks. And I've seen many folks run out of gas because not really paying attention to the marks. And in this, many times where the 1/4 of a tank is, that's not very much gasoline. But in the newer cars, they have the mark, but people try to run between these two, which is 1/8 of a tank. And when you do that, many times, you run out of gas. You get overconfident to some place, well, I can make it. I can make it to the next station. What happens when you get to the next station and that station is closed for some unknown reason? Well, I didn't know that station would be closed. Well, I know you didn't. But you felt that you could make it to the station, and now you get there and the station closed. Now you're still sitting there. Now how far is the next station? I want, by the help of the Lord, to try to bring this out in a spiritual way. I don't know why the Lord gave them to me this way. Brother Salmon said the Lord gives him thoughts, and he does me the same way. But sometimes with my thoughts, it gives me some kind of illustration to try to, I don't know, talk about it a little bit. I notice these things. And I believe that when an individual, I don't know about the younger generation, but I'm sure many times they do it too, but when I get into somebody's car, the first thing I hit my eyes is the gas needle. I want you to know how much gas you got. Because I'm going out now, and I don't know if I'm going to make it back, so I want to be sure. Now you take some folks' gas needle is broken. It lays on the empty all the time. So what happens when your needle is broken? A person just constantly don't know how much gas they got, so they'll keep going to the station all the time, put it in. Sometimes it's better to have the needle broken than to be overconfident that you can make it. In a spiritual sense, you and I, we can get overconfident. If you don't mind, Brother Fuller, we'd probably use that a little bit more tonight. In a spiritual sense, I didn't know he was going to preach that last night, so I didn't come here with it, but the Lord gave me this last night. In a spiritual sense, when people think that you can make it. You know, we don't have camp meetings every day. We only have them every so often. Maybe here you probably have a camp meeting and a revival. Sometimes it's hard to, in the time the way things are going now, preacher hardly able to stay home anymore. Seems like it got troubles everywhere. Everybody needs to hear a little bit of the word of the Lord. So God shares him and sends him out and bring him back. But you and I, many times, we, instead of getting right down, every time we feel that the needle is broken, I don't know how much gas I got in this thing. I need to fill up. I need to take part and get a hold of something from God that's going to keep me moving right along until the next meeting, until the next fill-up station comes to. But many times, folks just sit around and feel that I'm all right. I got enough. I'm going to tell you something. A lot of people, you see parked side of the road. Saw a man one time, car run out of gas, he got out. What you think he did? Slammed the door and kicked the car. Why did he? He the one that needed to have been kicked, if anybody needed to have been kicked. He the one passed the gas station, the car only doing what he does it to do. Can you see how folks, he got up, slammed the door, and kicked the car. What good that did. Folks are like that. Now you want to talk about the car. You remember when that Balaam rode the donkey over there and tried to get through, and the donkey turned aside, didn't want to go through because saw that sore angel in the way. He said, if I had my sword, I'll kill you. He get mad with the animal that's saving his life. And see, I've been riding on you, and the donkey began to talk to him. I've done everything you told me to do. I rode you around, no doubt, and did just was faithful to you, and now you want to kill me. Now, that's just the way he felt. He felt that here you in now and hurt my foot or whatever, you got hurt there, and here the donkey saw something that he didn't see. Don't you know, many times the Lord comes down and try to bless us and gives us a good meeting or gives us a portion of the Word of God. On Sunday morning, you and I come in, sit under the sound of the Word of God, and still go away empty, not really getting anything. Lord, help us. Is it the preacher's fault? Do we get mad with the preacher? Who do we get mad with? Who's responsible for your tank being full? Who is responsible? It is the preacher's job to feed you and to preach to you. But it is your job to take the cap off the thing so you can get something inside. In the old days, I say again, when you run down on a tank that had this kind of numbers on it, when you got down to a half a tank or a quarter of a tank, you knew exactly how much gasoline you had. But with the newer cars today, with all of those marks, and you get to looking and overconfident that you can make it, all of those marks look the same to you. Until the next thing you realize, you see a splitter, and then you pull on the side and say, oh, I'm out of gas. You know what happens spiritually? When battles come, folks realize they don't have anything, and the next thing you know, I'm out of gas. Don't have any more victory. Don't have any more power. Don't you know the fuel in that car generates power to help push the car up the hill and around the bend? Well, don't you know fuel in us, the Holy Ghost in our lives gives us fuel, gives us the power to overcome ourselves? To overcome the very responsibility, to overcome the things, the opposition that the devil brings against us, gives us power to overcome that. What do you think these meetings are held for? Why do you think God sent forth meetings and sent forth the ministers from place to place to preach the gospel, to give something to the people, to give fuel to you and I, to generate power that you and I can overcome the obstacles that you and I run into? But many times people fail to fill up. Luke 10 and 19, a very familiar text of Scripture. You bear with us. Pray for us. Luke 10 and 19, it says, behold, I give unto you power. God wants to give us something. But you and I don't have to take it if we don't want to. A man that wants to be saved, when he comes down and asks the Lord for forgiveness, God gives him something. He gives him salvation. Delivers him. That's the reason he died. That's the reason he come into the world and gave his life for mankind to be saved. So he got a gift to give you. When you and I come down to put in for that gift, God then in return gives it to us because we put in for it with all of our heart. Salvation is one thing, but there is a working in that period of time all the way through until the Lord comes back for us. There is a working, and you and I are going to have to keep working and staying humble and digging and getting the help we need. In the period of time that God gives us salvation until the time He comes back to receive, you and I got to keep filling up. We got to keep filling up. We got to keep using the fuel from the Holy Ghost in our lives to be able to live a holy life. Amen. To have victory. Not going to make it. I have to say it this way. A man can't make it without it. Just like a man without gasoline can't go any farther when he get on empty. When it runs out, you can't go any farther. So behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. My God, thank you this evening. We got power now. God can give unto you and I power if we so desire it. If we want the power in our life to overcome the things that you and I are to face, I tell you, got too many weak folks today. Seems like folks get started for the Lord, and somewhere down the line, they're going to give up. People falling down by the wayside. And I don't understand it altogether, but somewhere down the line, they quit filling up at the station that they need to fill up at. I talk talked to folks and I said, do you remember back when you first got saved? Yes, how was it? Oh, it was beautiful. Is it still the same? It should be a little bit greater. When a man marries a woman, I tell you, things changes in life, doesn't it? He marries her and it's just them two for a while. And if the Lord blessed them, and next thing you know, you come back a year or so later, and they might have twins, or they got one, and the next year they got another one, and it changes in life. Oh, how you like your marriage now? It should be more greater than it was when I first met her. Oh, I love her even greater now. Oh, why? Because she's given me some offsprings. She's given me something else. She's given me children that looks like me. You see? Look at that fellow over there. Look just like his father. Oh, isn't that a blessing? Couldn't nobody do that but God and the woman he gave you, you see? So now it should be a little bit greater. I don't think I've seen a man yet that as the wife begin to have the children, I don't know, maybe to have some. You can tell me about it if you want to. But maybe when a man begin to have children, I tell you that brings something right on into the family. A greater love and a greater joy. You run across anybody get mad because you had one? I tell you what I've seen. I've seen some of those that didn't want them. They have all to do with having them because they don't want them. But I'll tell you, God gives us something. When God gives us salvation, from the first year that you and I get saved, it ought to be something greater the next year. It ought to be a drawing closer to the Lord. But somehow or another, we let the devil get in, or we let the enemy tempt us, or we let the devil come along, and he begin to steal the very joy and the victory that we have in life. Somebody said, oh, we had a Sunday school study here this week. It says, oh, how afflictions, you profit in afflictions. You profit in the things that the Lord blesses to come upon us. But you know, many times we look at those things as, oh, I'm downcast, and why me all the time? Why am I having all of these trouble? I'm going to tell you something. If you and I would continue to keep our tank on full, we will have less time to sit around and mope and think about, oh, why me? Oh, I give unto you power. That's power in God. That's power in living for God. But it's going to take you and I drawing closer to God to keep that fuel, that power in our life. Too many folks pull up to the gas station and says, give me some 87. When they got 89 and 93. Well, somebody said, I can't pay all of that. I don't have that much money. But don't you know, I tell you, people are like that in their spiritual walk with God. They don't want to pay for what it's going to take to get the real power to generate you and I. They want to settle for a little 87. Oh, just give me a little blessing, Lord, and that'll be enough. But God wants to give you and I something greater than that. He wants to make us happy Christians, that you and I, when the pastor is gone, when the preachers are gone, nobody around there, you can get down before God and you can say, Lord, I thank you for salvation. And we're going to show the pastor when he comes back that we can still move on and be a blessing to the congregation while he's gone. Huh? Some folks, soon as we leave, that happens to me too many times. They want to know a number where you're going. That's all right. That's all right. Sometimes you ever get a phone call before you get there. Hey, tell him to call as soon as you get there. My goodness, I just pulled in. All right, I'll call. Oh, the devil has given us a time back here since you're gone. My goodness. Well, what if I'm off? The devil's still going to give you a time. Lord, help you and I. We need to get ourselves in a place, and may God help us. The name of this thought tonight, the title of this is Running Low. Too many folks try to run on low tanks. Too many people don't build up and get enough power in their life, get enough confidence in God that you and I can make it. They run low. Well, I believe I can make it. Oh, and I tell you, sometimes you run across some tight folks. You know, when you ever run across somebody that's tight, just don't want to spend it. I tell you, I'll drive the car, and when I get it home, I'll let her put it in. I ain't going to worry about it. I just got enough to make it home. When she goes out, then let her put it in the tank. Lord help you and I. Oh, I tell you, we need to keep, in a natural sense, need to keep the tank full for me and her, honey. I don't want you to run out in the dark woods somewhere and hear you call. I got to get up and come and get you anyway. So I'm going to heat some gas in there for you to make it home. Don't you know we ought to think about that way spiritually? Lord, I want to keep enough in my soul when the pastor's going off somewhere and going to preach the gospel. I'll have enough to keep me running until he get back. Glory to God. I don't know how you see it, but this is the way the Lord made it on my heart. Too many folks running low. 59?
Quarter?
Half? Three quarters? How would you estimate it in your life tonight? What would you say? Lord, I want to be honest. That's the main thing in life, living for God, is being honest. Where do we stand? At an eighth of a tank? Am I running close? I heard the brethren back there last night talking, and they didn't know what the Lord had given me, but I heard them talking, and I had to get on out of the door. They said around these hills and curves and up and down these mountainsides, he said, I wouldn't get below a half a tank of gas. I surely want to have some gas in my car. And I tell you, I do too. It's not a telephone when you get around on the other end, up 250 going up that way. You've been that way, you know what I'm talking about. You break down or you don't have run out of gas in there, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. And you know it's embarrassing when somebody comes along and you say, what happened, friend? Well, I broke down. No, tell it like it is. I run out of gas. See, it's embarrassing. You don't want to. Well, the first thing they say, well, you passed the gas station about 10 miles. I know. I thought I could make it. We all do. We all think we can make it, and we get overconfident that we can make it. Oh, yes, we can make it. But don't you know, you may do that in a natural sense. You may not put gasoline when you ought to. But I'm going to tell you something. When the Lord comes down and begins to bless in His word, blessing the service, you and I had better put some fuel in, because we will not make it when the battle hits. When the thing gets strong and the devil comes down, we will not be able to hold up under the pressure. We'll lose faith. When a person loses faith, do you know it's hard for them to regain that faith, because the devil torments them, beats them down? Oh, you'll never be able to stay saved no more. You tried it. Look what happened. Just look how it went, and you thought you could make it. Look at it now. Oh, listen. May the Lord help us. He said, but I give unto you power. Power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Somebody get Isaiah, the 40th chapter. I appreciate this word of God that the Lord had given us here. Over in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, beginning at verse 28. Oh, listen. God has something for us. I can't tell you why God many times prolonged His coming. And He would say, well, maybe He won't do something for us right when we think He ought to do it. But that still don't give me a mind to lose faith in the Lord because He hadn't done it right then. Don't you know? In the midst of our afflictions many times, the Lord wants to bless us and cause us to profit by it. It's profit in our affliction. Many times we look at our afflictions and we say, oh Lord, I surely want you to come in and take this thing away. Yes, I do too. But then when He don't do it, how do I look at it? I think about the Hebrew boys when they said, if He don't. If He don't, have He done enough for you already that you can count on Him? Have He done enough for us already? Lord, I don't want to run low. I want to build up my faith. Don't you know it's going to take every day of our lives to build up our faith a little bit more? How we do it? Praying in the Holy Ghost. I give unto you, He said, something that I got for you. I got some good grace to give you. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you're out. You're not running low. You're out of gas completely. You can't even begin to run if you're not saved. You're in a dangerous place. Well, what did the scripture say there in Isaiah?
Eyes on high.
Isaiah 40 and 28.
Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard?
Maybe you didn't know it, somebody said. Maybe, I appreciate the Lord. There are things maybe we don't know. There's things maybe we don't have an understanding about. But the Lord have a way of bringing it right down to give us understanding, doesn't He? I'll tell you, somebody was praying for patience one day. Lord, I want some patience. And he thought the Lord was going to open up heaven and pour him out a bucket of patience. But He sent a trial his way. And he said, he got stirred up. I said, hold it, brother. Wait a minute. Didn't you pray for patience? And yes. And how you think you're going to get it? Lord, help us. Young folks, get a hold of this. We're getting in a time now, some of our young folks are going to be getting married. Well, anytime you hear me preach, I'm going to touch down on married life, because that's what the Lord talks about. And When you first get ready to get married, your smile's all from here to there. Ooh, glory. I like to see you after about the fourth year. Smile's about halfway, three quarters. And then I like to come back about after the seventh year and see where it is then, about an eighth. You know, how's your married life now, brother? How's things going along? Oh, brother, I don't know. Lord, help you and I. Samson, one of the strongest men in the world. Samson, why don't you marry one of our faith? No, I tell you what you do. Mom and Dad, you go down and get the woman that I want you to get for me. Well, Samson, we won't say no to you since you're about the strongest fella here. You probably can pick us up and shake Mom and Dad pretty good. Well, we're going to go ahead and do it for you. And they did. Samson got himself into trouble, didn't he? Oh, listen, we get the warnings. The Lord gives us the warnings. And you and I the Word of God touches our heart. But yet, that's the one I want over there. Might not be good enough for you. But that's what I want. Told somebody one time. Maybe you marry one you didn't want to marry, and then they outlive you 60 to 1 almost. That's something. You know, that's about a hard thing. To live 60 years or 50 years with somebody you don't like. You ever thought about that? You wake up in the morning, 60 years of that. Or 50 years of that. Don't you think it'd be better to think about it before we get into it? 50 years of 30 years. Let me break it down a little bit more. 20 years. Lord, help us. But I give unto you power. Haven't you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the earth, the what? Creator of the ends of the earth. God don't faint.
Neither is
he weary.
There is no
this station is never closed. You may drive many, many miles and pull up beside a thing in the station closed, and sometimes folks get mad with the owner. Maybe he needed a day off. Maybe he had death in the family. Maybe something happened, he had to go off. And you say, now why he had to close the station at a time like this? It's not his fault. It's your fault. You passed up all the stations to get over there to think he was open. He never told you he would be. But Jesus do. He tell you, you can come boldly to the throne of grace in the time of need, in the time of trouble, and get everything you need. You don't have to run low. You and I can run on a high note. But you and I, we're getting down, being overconfident, thinking we can make it. Young folks, many times we think, you can't make it without the Holy Ghost. Don't you even try it. You will never be able to get even started real good without the Holy Ghost. You're going to need it. Without the Holy Spirit, we will not be able to make heaven. I'll put it to you that way. Very serious. Somebody said, well, in the scriptures it said over there, had you heard about the Holy Ghost? He said, I haven't even heard about the Holy Ghost since we believed. Those folks are serious. They didn't even know nothing about it. But don't you know there are a lot of folks saying, I'm sanctified, don't even know how a sanctified life works. Lord, help us. Something to think about, isn't it? Don't even know how a sanctified life goes. It's puzzled me sometimes. I see folks that say I love God, but yet they don't have read the Bible. They don't have pray. They don't fasting is out of the question. The Holy Ghost leads us to do those kind of things. When the Spirit led Jesus up into the wilderness, after fasting 3 days, fasting near 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, led him up to be tempted of the devil. The Spirit of God. It has a way of working in us. And too many folks come around and say, yes, I'm sanctified, but I tell you, I just really don't understand all of this. And I don't know. I'm in and out and up and down. God got something better. Maybe you've been burning 87. Now it's time to move up to 93 octane. I see a lot of folks go down to the station, and he looked a little money over and say, well, I don't have the $5. I'll put $3 in. And if I get 93 and it's $1.30, that means I won't get but a gallon and a half, maybe. But if I take the $3 and put 87, I'll get maybe 2.5 gallons. And then when you hit one of these mountains that's so weak and you can't splutter in and halfway missing, you'd wish you had to put the other in. See? But you can do that in a natural sense. But you can't do it when it comes down to God. You can't settle for something less than everything that God wants to give us. God wants to give us full power. He said, I give unto you power. You're going to have power over the enemy. You're going to have power over all the things that may come up against you. You're going to have power over yourself. But you got to stay full. You're going to have to stay full. Too many folks run on a low tank. Too many folks in a hurry don't take time out to fill up. Many times we pray for a meeting, and when God sends us a meeting for the congregation, do you know what happens? The meeting is ended, and many times we still don't have any help. Some of us still don't have help because we fail to put in. We fail to put everything where it's supposed to be. Have you not heard? God don't think. We can't weary him. Well, Lord, I come to you, but I see you had a lot of folks in line, and I don't want to bother you, so I'll go on back. I'll come back another time. No. He can take care of all of us at the same time. How thirsty are we? How hungry are we? Many times I tell folks, why do people like to run on a low tank? Do you know what happens in a natural sense when you run on a low tank of gas? You have trouble down the line. What happens is, when you're running on a low tank, the needle right close around empty, it's going to suck up the dregs out of the bottom of the tank, cause the carburetor and the line to get all stopped up. Now you got to go down when you could have put a little bit of octane in it and fill the thing up. Now you got to go and get your gas filter cleaned out and the carburetor all messed up. And I don't mean one of the old spirits that come down through here and down our way once before just shouting and hollering and jumping. And I'm not talking about that kind of a spirit. But I'm talking about that spirit that's down within and says, oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. That's what I need, Lord. Oh, preach it, brother. If I'm not there, I'll get there. But Lord, bless us. You know what that does to a preacher when he's preaching? It's good to be quiet. Then the old devil come along and say, Mom, what's happening? What's the matter? But I like to pinpoint the devil just where he is. So we know how to work with him. Running low. Oh, Lord, help us that we can get something down in our souls that'll cause us to run on a high note, to hit on all 8 cylinders. May God help us. All right, well, what's going to separate me from this thing? Am I going to get offended and let some of these things here separate me from the love of Christ? Read on.
As it is written,
for thy sake we are killed all the day long.
We are counted as sheep.
We are counted as sheep for the slaughter.
Nay, in all these things.
Nay, in all of these things. We are, what did you say?
More than conquerors.
Now, wait a minute. Somebody said, how did you do in that trial, brother? I just made it. You need to go back through it again. Glory to God. The scripture says, we are more than conquerors. I just made it. Well, how are you doing, brother? I'm hanging on. Quit hanging on and start standing. You're only 3 inches from the ground. Stand on the word of God and believe that word. God is able to do everything he says he will do. Sometimes we let the devil back us up against the wall and we see things happening and we said, oh, I don't know how to deal with this. Lord, I don't know. Get a hold of yourself. Don't you know God can't deal with you and I when you and I are nervous and uneasy and we don't know? You're not trusting when you do that. You're not trusting when you do that. The same God that saved you, the same God that put the Holy Ghost in your life is the same God that can deliver you now.
Yeah.
Believest thou this? Yea, Lord. Yes, Lord. I don't understand it altogether. I can't stand here and tell you I understand everything. I don't. But I understand this. Somebody said, God has never Brother Tony did. He said, never let anybody down. Can anybody say, well, God let them down? Well, what makes you think he's not going to stand with us when the battle hits? If we stay full, if we stay tanked up, and we stay full of the Holy Spirit, God is able to talk to us right in the trying time. When the old dark clouds begin to hover over, we can say, yes, Lord, I know where you are. Praise be to God. Read any more of that.
We're persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God.
Nothing. Nothing will be able to separate us. Now you go in with that kind of positive attitude and you begin to work and build on that. Lord, I'm not going to let anything come between me and you. Lord, I love you. You love me first, see? You gave your life and everything for me here. You proved your love. You went all the way through. Now, I don't want to come short. Oh, Lord, help us. Too many folks are running low. Too many folks just going right along and really not getting the spiritual nourishment in the soul that they need to get. Not the preacher's fault. Not that. But because they fail to eat. They fail to feed. When it gets so, the service of God is just a duty. You lost it. When it gets to just a duty, oh, got to go to church tonight. Well, come on, let's get together and go. It's just a duty, you lost it. But when it gets to the place that you said, Lord, I don't want to be late. Praise God. And all the way through your life, it's supposed to measure. It becomes a part of you. It becomes a part of me. The Holy Ghost in me, the Holy Ghost in you, and the Holy Spirit to come down in a service is all one. And it's a part. See? And that love that I have for God, that love that I am supposed to, it seemed like it's just back and forth. It goes out and God fills it back up. But too many folks are running low spiritually. Too many people are on a downward note. And maybe they don't fill up. Maybe they don't get a hold of God when they need to. When the very Holy Ghost reveals to you and I where we are, we don't put forth an effort to get the blessings in our soul. We just go along. I'll be all right, preacher. Just pray for me. I'll be all right. No, you won't be all right. Stop fooling yourself. You won't be all right. What makes you think you'll be all right? When you have a mind, well, when I get home, I'm going to work on some of the things that the preacher talked about. Well, why not start here? See? Start here and begin to work and ask the ministry to pray and to seek God's face for us. Lord, I want you to bless us and help us out. First John 5:4, 1 John. Somebody get Revelation 2:26. And the last scripture, Jude 20:21.
Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world.
Notice now. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. We have power to overcome. Sometimes people seem like we have just a miniature God. A God that seems like he's not able to take care of our problems. The scripture says it's nothing too hard for God. Nothing. And sometimes people feel, I don't know, they get into a place where they feel like God is a little God. And my problem is more than he can understand. And I'm the only one can understand it myself. If you can understand it, you'll know how to work with it. And you don't know how to work with it, so what makes you think you can understand it? See? Oh, listen, folks. Sometimes we come to God like he's a little bitty God. How big is your God to you tonight? Oh, listen. Power. Oh, somebody say, well, I don't have much money to get that octane that you're talking about, Brother Kimball. So my car runs just as good on 87. So he makes the guard, well, you can put 87 in, but you watch it after a period of time. You watch it. It began to get sluggish after a period of time. But I guarantee you, when you begin to use it, I'm talking about in the natural sense as well as the spiritual. In a natural sense, you begin to use a higher octane, and it begins to clean your carburetor, your lines, it gives you more power. And when you get down on the eighth of a tank, you know, in the station, and maybe so you can go some on the fumes. You know, the fumes will just keep you going. Praise be to God. Don't you know spiritually, when you and I keep filling up at Father's table, when the pastor is gone, the ministers are gone, you and I will have enough to run on the fumes until he gets back. Glory to God. Still strong to go on. The old devil gave me a good battle. I tell you, he fought. But I tell you what, we won. Praise be to God. Amen. 93 costs more. That's right. It sure does. And to get the Holy Ghost, it's going to cost you everything. Everything. I don't know what you think about this, but this is what the Lord gave me, and I want to finish it up. He overcometh the world.
This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
This is the victory. Sometimes you see a lot of folks, when the world changes something, then they want to change with the world. But you know, God can give us power in our lives that we don't have to be affected by what the world is doing. Well, Revelation 2 and 26.
He that overcometh and keepeth my works.
He that overcometh and keepeth my works.
To him will I give power over the nations.
Oh, listen. To him shall I give power over the nation. Power to be live holy. Power to stand right on the job and to tell folks just where you stand. Huh? Glory to God. When you go down to the supermarket or down to the grocery store, people will know where you're from. Praise be to God. Jude 20th. And 21 verse. In closing.
But ye beloved, building up yourselves of your most holy faith.
You want to know how to have power? Ye beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith.
Praying in the Holy Ghost.
How are you going to do it? Praying in the Holy Ghost. You think your problem is worse than anybody else's problem? I urge you to go out on the street and start talking to some people. I urge you to just get out from waiting here and go out on the street. And just, how you doing there, sister? Praise the Lord, brother. How you doing? Well, how's your day beginning? and you listen to them a while. You listen to them a while. And then you just take your little stuff and fold it up and put it in your bag and come on back home. You think you've got a problem. You think your problem is the greatest problem in the world. But you listen to somebody else's problem. Had somebody said one time, said, well, my husband is this and my husband is that. I said, talk to that sister over there. She don't even have one. Hers took off. Yeah. You do have one. Huh? You do have one. He may be a piece of fella, but he home. He with you. But what about that other fellow over there? That one more day. Hers took off. Now she got to try to raise these little children. He gone. Don't know where he gone. May not never come back. We all think, man, our problem is the greatest problem in the world. But we don't know what other folks are going through. Building up your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost.
Keep yourselves in the love of God.
Here it is, folks. You want to stay full? Keep yourself in the love of God. I want to say tonight to you here, you know where you are. Maybe you said, well, I've been down and on, I've got my hip. Are you sure you got it all? when it lasts. Are you sure? Maybe you got to start. And I want something that lasts, don't you? I want some lasting grace. I want to be able, Lord, to empty out everything and get hold of something that's going to carry me on through, that when the brethren come back to visit with us again, I can be a help and a blessing in the congregation. I can be strong in the things of God. And the Lord can move me on and cause me to be a help in the congregation. But you know what? Too many times when you come, what happened to so-and-so? Oh, it's sad to see. Do you know when you go places, folks ask, how the saints are there? How's Brother so-and-so doing? What could you say? What could the pastor say? Can he give an account with joy? Say, oh, Brother so-and-so is doing fine. He's moving on. Or what do you have to say? Pray for him. Keep going. You going over this nation telling folks to pray for me? Why, sure, you need it. Amen. You need it. You know what we're doing now? And I'm asking folks, Lord, help us. That you know, many times, I don't know, Lord, help us to be able to deal with a lot of these cases direct. Sometimes we may hit around it and just not really deal direct with it, hoping that you can read between the lines. But it's too late now to talk about reading between the lines. If you're on empty, you're on empty. You need to get some help for it. Lord, help us here. And we sometimes we throw out words hoping you can get a hold of it. And we think, well, it would be good if you get a little bit closer to the Lord. And hoping you get, and you say, well, all right, I remember that. And then you go on off. Don't do no more. Well, you did say you wish I would get a little closer. Instead of getting right down, looking you right in the eyes and said, you need the Lord to help you right here. Your attitude is not just right. And you really have not been really just measuring to the things of God. And you don't have that joy that I used to see. You begin to lose that. Oh, God, help us. Can we take that? Are we strong enough to take that? Lord, help us here. I said, Lord, I want to make heaven. I want you to be fair with my soul, Lord. I don't know. Many times I wonder if we can preach it as strong as Jesus preached it. People will get offended. They're going off, wounded. Lord, help us. Building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourself in the love of God. Is that all?
Looking for the mercy
of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Where do our needles set today? Do we set on a full tank? Do we set on a half tank? Is a half tank good enough to make it from here to Packersburg? Would you chance a half a tank going from here to there? Maybe you got one of these little small jobs. And maybe you get 33 miles a gallon. Would you chance it? Well, I believe I can make it in mine. Where will you need to be when you get there? But with a full tank, huh? You leave out on a full tank. It's something about a full tank of gas. It gives you courage. You know, I just tanked up. We ready to roll now. You know, we ready to go. I got a full tank. I know it's somewhere between 350 and 400 miles. I can go. But you know, when you're driving along the road like I did at night, I don't let my tank get below a half. I don't know what I'll be running into. I'll pull in and top off. But I got to have a tank. That's all right. Let's top it off. It ain't going to hurt you, is it? It won't hurt to top it off. Well, I'm doing pretty good, preacher. It ain't going to hurt to top off. It's not going to hurt to get you some more grace. You may not need it for right now. You need it for later. It won't hurt to say, oh, God, I need your help. I want you to bless me. I want to be a help in the congregation. I don't want to be a burden. Let's have a song. 359. Do you feel like you need to pray tonight?